Very lately, we've had some youth out in the, our church is next to a park, and so there sometimes are youth in the park doing goodness knows what. But JP knew one of these lads from his mentoring in John Curl, and so over a couple of weeks, they started to come into the church at the end. Then we had a harvest service, and it finished by a wonderful Sue Rudge harvest display that we all got to make as family. And they all came in to make it, the boys and the girls, 14, 15-year-olds. Yeah. And so they came in, and they were part of the church and they among the congregation. So that was that's a real recent development. And last week, we weren't there, but... one of the girls that had come in to the church came back with her mum and her two younger sisters, and they came into the kids' work. So our youth is in a state of, we are beginning to have a youth again, so that's amazing. Our kids' work is growing. Some of the people that have come, one of them, Zoe, is a teacher, so she's sort of taken off the responsibility for kids' work. So that's really great. Murray is now heading up our worship team because we have enough to have a team now. So, you know, things are moving and God is working and we're really, really grateful. Points that I'd say you could pray for, I'd particularly like you to pray for Andrew. He's working incredibly long hours. We had a week, about 3 weeks ago, he worked 80 hours. So... he's doing all of this, and his heart for Ross is immense, and his passion for it, and he's just quite tired. Probably wouldn't like me saying this, so I'd really appreciate your prayers for him, because that would be great. Also for this youth, and the way it's changing, really, just what God wants to do. We want to see God work, and we want to see his glory, and so we just... pray for that. And the other thing you could pray for particularly is on Halloween night, Tudorville, where our church is known as the place to go in Ross for trick-or-treating. And so a couple of years ago with the Baptist church, we gave out balloons and party bags from UCB. And we put some sweets in them, we gave them balloons. And we're going to do that again this year. And people were really receptive last time. We gave them a drink of hot chocolate. And so we're going to do that again. We're going to go out in amongst the we're going to go in the car park of our community centre and just be there as the people and children come. And so we really pray for opportunities during that time as well. That would be really good. Because it's exciting times. And we're just seeing God work and bless us. And every week, he's just there, and he turns up, and we have a great time. So we're really blessed, but we really appreciate your prayers, and just please keep them going. So I have the privilege of talking about Ephesians 3. Unfortunately for you, every time I sort of read through it, and I added more to my notes, so... they're a bit jumbled now, so I hope it makes sense. Because it's a really familiar passage, isn't it? It's oft quoted, and it's one of those things that you could just let, yeah, that's really good, but not really, it not really change you, and it's not designed to, for you to think, oh, isn't that lovely? It's designed to change you and to amaze you and to stagger you and to for you to respond. It's not meant for us to think, oh, great. God loves me. It's designed, as the very beginning of the prayer says, to make us just be in awe and just to bow. So I'm hopefully going to read it from the NIV, but it's got really small print. I'm not sure my glasses are strong big enough. So this is the second letter in Ephesians. The first one, so they say, is about enlightenment and revelation, and this second one is about equipping so that you can go forward. It is not to be seen in isolation. This is a letter. We've split it up into chapters, but it's a whole. And so all that we hear and receive this week, you need to remember in the following weeks, because this is what it's built upon. All of this revelation that has come is designed to equip you for what's to come, because it will be challenging, because you're going to have to change. I'm going to have to change. It doesn't matter what age you are. God's got more for you, and will require more of you, but he's awesome. So it says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And although this is about you as individuals, it's about you as a church as well. God doesn't see us always as individuals, and some of what follows on is about us, you know, being together as a church. And so his desire is that he works in us as individuals, but he works in us as a whole as well, as a congregation or a church or a group of people. And so we need to use this to become that group of people and church. So it's not just for us to sit there and think, oh, God loves me. Paul is praying this about somebody else. He's not praying it for, can I have? He's praying, can they have? And so as we hear this, it is, because God's so amazing, it is about you, but it's about the people you see around you as well. So you really need to remember that. Excuse me. And it says, for this reason, and in the NIV it says, when I think of all this. So if you think it's a letter, there's loads of it coming before, isn't it? We've split it up into chapters, but there's all of this. So I thought, well, what is all of this? So very quickly, in chapter 1, verse 1, we've been made holy. In verse 3, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, and we've had lavished upon us. We're wrapped up in Christ. In verse 4, we're chosen. In verse 5, we're children. In verse 7, we're joined in Christ and redeemed. In verse 10, we've got a purpose and a destiny. In verse 12, we are God's own inheritance. We fulfill God's plan. In verse 13, we've been stamped with the seal of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, verse 1, his fullness fills you. He loved us. He saved us. He raised us. He united us to the life of Christ. He seated us with Christ. He poured his grace upon us. He planned our destiny. Everything is new. He restored us. He united us to Christ. He gave us direct access to the Father. We're his children. We're being transformed. In chapter 3, he's revealing things to us. He's making us bold. He's given us confidence of access. When I think of all these things, I kneel. I don't know how you feel about kneeling. God's really been speaking to me over a few years about being prepared to kneel, especially at church. I was brought up in a church where it was almost, well, that was something the Church of England did, and we didn't need to do it anymore. Somehow we were better than kneeling. And I think it's because it could become commonplace and not really be indicative of what's inside. But actually, when I think of all this, you know, what can I do but kneel? I'm not kneeling because I'm not good enough, because I am now because of grace. I'm not kneeling because I'm scared to enter the presence, because the verse prior to it has told me I've got confidence of access. I'm kneeling because I'm just staggered. In the Passion Translation says, I kneel humbly in awe. And that is, you know, we just need to be in awe. We become hear these things so often that we lose that sense of amazement. Of, you know, I just listed it off and I reeled it off. But each one of those on his own is a staggering indication of God's love and his grace towards us. He's amazing, and we just need to just kneel before him and just be willing to go down on our knees. It's an indication of what's in our heart. Or sometimes it's bringing our heart in line. Sometimes you need to kneel because you've lost your awe, or you've just lost your way a bit, and you just, you know, that physical act can start triggering things off. So, you know, we need to respond and be in awe of all that he is doing and all that he has done, because we have boldness and access with confidence. And so it's just, God, you've done so much in me. You've done so much for me. I just want to worship you and bow before you. So, and then it then says, this is just so full of stuff, isn't it, this? I feel like I'm whizzing through. You could spend, you know, on kneeling, you could spend ages, couldn't you? I'll try not to. It says, I pray that from his glorious resources he will empower you. The NIV says, I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. And again, you have to stop and think, what are his glorious riches? In the New Living Translation, it says his unlimited riches. Not having a limit, boundless, no bounds, unrestricted. That's your God. That's your God. That's my God. Boundless, unrestricted riches to strengthen you. So whether you need strengthening because you're weary, God can do that. Whether you need strength to hang on because you're just barely there, God can do that. He's got the riches for that. Whether you need to triumph, God's got the riches, the resources for that. Whether you need just the strength to keep praying for something you've been praying for years and years, God can strengthen you. Those resources are there. I don't know how. I just know that's what Scripture says, so it must be true. So therefore, he can do it. You're worthy. You know, we've already established, you can have confidence and of access to go before him. All right? We're in awe that he's done it, but that's what he says. And he says that out of his glorious riches, he will strengthen you in the inner being. God wants us to be stable. He wants us to be secure. When I was getting ready for this, my Andrew ran a race last week up in the Lake District, and I was the chauffeur. So I drove my sister and Andrew up there, and then I got to sit in a coffee shop overlooking Coniston for 2¾ hours, just ordering a drink every now and then. And I was thinking, it was quite calm, and there was a boat chugging around. And it was lovely. But I was thinking how, you know, so often life can rock us, can't it? And the boat isn't stable. And that God just wants that stability, that inner strength, that inner here, that actually whatever rages around us, we're stable, we're secure. So amazing, isn't it? Even this, he'll say, I'll give you power. You know, even this, he's not saying you've got to do this on your own. The Holy Spirit can help you do this. God is so gracious, he is so kind, that he doesn't leave us floundering. He just wants us to kneel and say, God, I just love you. I need you. Come and work out of all that you are, Creator God, all-powerful, beginning and end, Prince of Peace, government resting on your shoulders. That's the resources out of which he can strengthen you. And his heart is to do that. But that is not the end. That is what's so amazing about God. You know, don't you just get a sense today in all that's got on that God just wants us to know his love more than we already do. And so we just, you know, he doesn't stop there, that, you know, I'll give you strength so that you know the truth of being in Christ. And what's being in Christ? Being seated with him in heavenly places. It's just amazing. It is supernatural. That spirit, you know, it is beyond the natural to be strengthened when there's turmoil all around you. It is. And it's not, you know, sometimes we have to work at it, don't we? But that's God's desire for us. That supernatural power of all his resources of heaven. And it said, didn't it, in that song, he died to give us heaven's best. Let's grab hold of what that means. The unlimited, boundless resources of heaven to strengthen you. Just to make you okay. Just to give you peace. Supernaturally, when your world is in turmoil. It is just incredible. But it doesn't even stop there. Doesn't even stop there. Root so that you can be rooted and established in love. And in another place it says, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. And in the King James it says that you will be rooted and grounded in love. So that we can have strength, we can have inner strength, and we can send our roots down. You know, your roots just sink into your life source. What we stand on, what we put our roots into, affect us. And we know, haven't we, with, you know, the story of the parable of the sower, that some roots, you know, seeds go in different places. And we just need to make sure we're rooting ourselves in the right things, in his love. That our strength and our stability comes from his love. You know, his love has shown us salvation. It's our life source of his grace, that we'll begin to grasp how infinite his love is. That we're rooted and established in love. But then, Paul prays, we've got to know more. So that you're rooted and established in his love. But actually, there's more. And, you know, it's just that there's more than all we've already mentioned. That all those things we've talked about, there's more. There's more. That is how good God is. There's more. You will be empowered to discover the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are full to overflowing with the fullness of God. In the Message it says, reach out and experience the breath. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. God's love surpasses every boundary. In every direction. You can go anywhere and it's bigger. My kids, when they were little, I used to love them reading it to them because they started this competition. But there's a book called I Love You to the Moon and Back. It's about a little rabbit, and they sort of say, I love you to the branch, I love you to the sun. And my kids would start competing then, who could think of the furthest place and who loved me the most. So I'd just sit there and just enjoy the moment. But, you know, God is beyond all of that. There's no boundary you can think of that his love isn't bigger than. There's no height you can think of that it's not taller than. And it says that you might know what's beyond knowledge. So it's not just about here. It's about here. It's about here. God just got a sense, and obviously it's great that Tony and Leslie, that God wants us to know more of his love. That what you and I will be staggered at what he's already done. We'll be in awe of what's already happened. But he's saying, come on, I've got more. I've got more for you to know. I've got more to transform you. I've got more for you to experience. I've got more to work in your life. Why? So that you can be filled with the fullness of God. I mean, God is just amazing. But even then, you think, well, if I know his love, I can be filled, and that's that. And I thought, no, there's just this ever-increasing capacity of fullness. Don't stop and think, well, I've been filled. I know the fullness of God. Because there's more. There's still more. And there will always be more. You'll never reach the end of knowing the fullness of God. We'll never know the end of knowing this love. It's staggering. God is so good. God is so amazing. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. While I was having my cups of tea, a hymn came to me that we used to sing when I was little. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. You know, there were some good truths in those hymns we used to sing when I was little. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. What we know now is a part. What we live now is a part. We need to not be content with where we are, however amazing it is, however much God has blessed you. God is not done, and we want to be that fullness. What we fill ourselves with matters. If you fill yourself with junk food, you tend to feel a bit, you know, what you fill yourself with matters. And what a privilege to be filled with the fullness of God. How amazing is that? Let's choose that. You know, let's choose and keep choosing, not once and for all, but that increasing capacity to be filled with all the measure of God. And it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And I don't know what you dream or imagine, and perhaps you don't imagine any very much. And, you know, that's fine. But God can do more than that. And the next time you'll imagine a little bit more. So keep imagining. Keep dreaming, however little it is. God doesn't say that's not a good, big enough dream. I'm not going to do that. He says, I'm here. I'm loving you. You know how big and deep and wide my love is. You know my grace. You know I've seated you in heavenly places. I'm going to come and deal with your dreams. I'm going to come and answer your wildest imagination. And if your imagination isn't very wild, that's fine. God can make it more wild if you want it to. But God can work. And it's his heart. This prayer shows his heart for us as individuals, but for us as a church. This is a together thing as well as an individual thing. And why? For his glory. Isn't that what we're about? His glory. God doesn't expect us to give glory to him on our own. He's got all of this Holy Spirit at work with us. His Father heart of kindness and love for us. Because we can give him his glory. And this, you know, when you look at the whole prayer, you think, well, this is someone who knew God. Really knew God. He was in a prison writing this, so he really knew God. He'd really come to know him as a father. He was really intimate with him. He really loved him. You know, he knew what God's calling was. He knew God's love. He knew his power at work, changing him, transforming him. He was assured of an all-powerful God. He was assured of an amazing, credible God who hears and answers. He's praying with an awareness of how big God is and how mighty. Praying, knowing that God is on the throne. Praying, knowing that God has authority. Praying for others in that position. He knows him as a father. He knows his heart to strengthen and empower out of all he is. He knows God's heart to have an ever-increasing awareness and experience and knowledge of God's love. He knows God wants to work in us. Paul knew his heart and his kindness to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine or dream. You as individuals, you as people together. This will transform us. This will change us. Because we can't do anything but respond and react to love like that. It has to. It has to, because God is so amazing. This was, you know, Paul's heart for the Ephesians, and his heart is God's heart for you as a church. I really believe that God wants to bless you with not a little shower of love. This isn't talking about a little sprinkling. It's not a little drizzle of love. It's a downpour. It's a downpour of his love. It's a downpour of supernatural blessing, supernatural love, supernatural strength from a God who has unlimited resources. I really felt that I had to pray this prayer for you, and so I'm going to do that now. So I'd like you just to pray. If you feel able to kneel, or you're able to, then please do. But just be open to God moving and blessing you. Sorry. When I think of all this, I pray that out of his unlimited, boundless, glorious riches, he may strengthen you, give you supernatural security, stability, and peace in your inner being, so that Christ, who through his sacrifice has united you with himself, may dwell in you. I pray that you, being rooted and established more and more in his love, may have power together as a congregation, as individuals, as a church, may have power to know and experience in ever-increasing measure the astonishing love of Christ in all its unmeasurable dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching in his love, how enduring, how kind, how forgiving, how safe, how reliable, how faithful, how wide and deep is the love of Christ for you. And to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you will be filled in ever-increasing measure to overflow with the fullness of God. I pray that you would never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve through you infinitely more than your greatest request and your unbelievable dream, even your wildest imagination, because of his miraculous power to work in us and to transform us. Now to him be all the praise, all the thanks, all the honour, all the glory in the church, this church, in Christ Jesus, now and throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.